Psalm 40, our 17 verses, we'll read the entire psalm. It's a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame, that they say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Again, this is a psalm of David. It is of diverse nature. It contains the testimony of, I believe, his personal experience of the Lord. It contains encouragement to trust in the Lord. We see that in verse 4. As you read through the psalm, you see that there are some declarations that David makes concerning God's attributes. It is a psalm that contains descriptions of trials, petitions, thanksgiving, spiritual resolutions, spiritual aspirations, faith, assurance, and praise of the psalmist. It is a psalm of great significance. We see that the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 7, will not turn there, but he cites verses 6 through 8, of Psalm 40, making the application to Christ. So without a doubt, this 40th Psalm has reference, has an application to Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is a treasure chest of spiritual riches. It is a psalm rich with spiritual thoughts. It is a psalm rich with lessons for the child of God. A psalm with a wide variety of spiritual applications. And what the psalmist testifies of in verses 2 and 3 can pertain to Christ in Gethsemane. It can also pertain to the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ. And we certainly rejoice that Christ descended into the horrible pit of sin on our behalf and was raised from it and was set on high. And that picture is drawn there in verses 2 and 3. But also what the psalmist testifies of in verses 2 and 3 most certainly paints a beautiful word picture of God saving a sinner, and we've preached from it, from that aspect in the past. It is also a reminder that God's people can still fall into pits, fall into horrible pits, and that God is still able to pull his people out of those pits. So it can. The psalm has an application to Christ. The psalm has an application to you and I. We see, without a doubt, the psalm, the psalmist is expressing something that he personally experienced. So the psalm has reference to a personal experience of David. But for the thought of the message today, I want to notice that the psalm opens with a testimony, a declaration of David concerning an experience they had involving prayer. Notice verse 1. He says, the second half of that verse, he, that would be the Lord, inclined unto me and heard my cry. From verse 1, we see that the psalmist prayed. And he waited patiently for the Lord, which simply means he prayed, he left the matter with God. I waited upon the Lord. In verses 11 through 16, he is seen again praying. In verse 11, he says, withhold not, and he makes a request that continues down through verse 16. It is a fervent prayer. A fervent prayer for help. And in verse 17, he makes a confession concerning himself. He said, but I am poor and needy. He then makes a statement of faith. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. So he makes a confession, he makes a statement of faith, and then he prays again. Make no tarrying, O my God. So though the applications of the psalm are many, we want to use it today as an encouragement to prayer. We're going to speak today on the subject of take it to the Lord in prayer. Again, the psalm opens with a personal testimony of an experience that David had regarding prayer. So we want to look, first of all, there is a description here of some trouble that David was experiencing at this time. We do not know the precise time, nor do we know the precise occasion of the psalm. But David, in verse 2, describes his personal troubles. And whatever those personal troubles were, he said it was like being in a horrible pit. That's what he's describing in verse 2. Now, a pit, of course, is a hole in the ground. In Bible times, more than likely, it was simply an open well. He describes this pit, which is, again, emblematic of his troubles. He describes it as a horrible pit in verse 2. A horrible pit. Conveying the idea of something that, of course, was very dreadful. Something that was awful. Something that was horrific. Something that was perhaps even unspeakable. It was a horrible pit. He goes on to say that this pit consisted of miry clay or heavy and deep mud and muck. And all through the Bible, the Old Testament, we read of various pits. And what is said of these pits enables us to obtain a better idea of what the psalmist is speaking of here in verse 2. In Genesis 37 and 22, we read concerning the pit that Joseph was cast into, and it says that it was a pit that was in the wilderness. In other words, not only was the pit a place of desolation, the pit was located in a desolate, deserted, and very remote place where it is very unlikely that the individual would ever be found, let alone rescued. We see in Genesis 37 and 24, again, of the pit that Joseph was cast into, it says the pit was empty and there was no water in it. So the pit is a place of deprivation. In Job 17 and 16, we read of the bars of the pit. So the pit is a prison. It's inescapable. In Job 33, 24, and also Psalm 28, 1, we read of going down into the pit, implying that the pit is a place of gloom, a place of misery, a place of descent, going down, and is continual. In Job 33 and 28, it is suggested that the pit is a place of darkness. In Psalm 55 and 23, we read, go down into the pit of destruction. So it is a place of ruin. It's a place of impoverishment. In Psalm 88 and 3, the pit is used in reference to the grave, revealing that it is a place of alienation, a place of lifelessness, a place of decay. In Proverbs 22 and 14, we read of a deep pit. It's cavernous. It's very extensive. In Proverbs 23 and 27, we read of a narrow pit. That is, it can be a very confined and restricted place. We read in Isaiah 38 and 17 of the pit of corruption. So it can be a place of degeneracy, perversion, and wickedness. We read in Isaiah 38 and verse 18, they that go down in the pit cannot hope for thy truth. So it's a place of despair, despondency, demoralization. In Jeremiah 48 and 43, we read fear and the pit and the snare, telling us that the pit is a place of terror, anxiety, and entrapment. So from all of that, we see why David, here in verse 2 of Psalm 40, refers to it as a horrible pit. Not just a pit, but a horrible pit. And such places exist, even for the child of God. We see David in this pit. He's stuck. We get the idea that he's sinking in the mire. There is no foothold. It is a place of descending. It is a place of helplessness. He cannot escape by his own efforts. In fact, the more he tries, the further he's going to sink. So, from all of this, we see that the pit is a very draining, exhausting place. And this pit that David is in, there is no arm of flesh able or long enough to bring him out of this pit. There are no mental faculties to figure a way out of this horrible pit and miry clay. This pit is a place beyond man, beyond the ability, whether physical or mental, beyond the abilities of man. Again, you may be in such a place at this moment. You may find yourself in such a place in the future, because these places do exist for the child of God. Sometimes we can get into these places by our own doing, by our own foolishness, by our own sin. Sometimes by the providence of God and for our own maturing and learning, God puts us by His providence in one of these pits. But we've all been there. And if we live long enough, there will probably be some of these pits in our lives. The question is, what are we to do when we find ourselves in such a place? And that brings us to our second point, David's testimony of prayer, which is an encouragement to us. You notice in verse 1, the last two words, my cry. He's in this pit. My cry. My plea. My appeal. My call out. Considering the pit that he was in, this no doubt was a very heartfelt cry. So it wasn't a whimper. It was a cry. Considering the pit he was in, this was a very intense cry. Considering the pit he was in, it was a very urgent cry or very urgent plea. So there's David. He's in that pit. He's in that miry clay. But while in that pit and in that miry clay, David could lift up his eyes and cry out to the Lord. And so can we. And we are always encouraged to do so. After he made his plea, he waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord and he inclined unto me, implying that he cried first and then waited patiently. In other words, he has placed his entire situation with the Lord. That is something that you and I learn, hopefully, every day, to place it with God and then to wait. Really, at this point, David didn't have much of a choice. I mean, there wasn't much else he could do but to wait. So he realizes I waited patiently for the Lord. I cried out, I waited patiently for the Lord. Realizing that his life is under the authority and direction of God. But in that pit, in that miry clay, what is David focused upon? He's focused upon the Lord. That's why he cried unto the Lord. That's why he waited upon the Lord. His hope is in the Lord. His confidence is in the Lord. His expectation is in the Lord. And David here is an encouragement for you and I to, no matter what it is, take it to the Lord in prayer. And I want to give you seven reasons, seven encouragements to take it to the Lord in prayer. Whatever the situation is, it doesn't really matter. It's not that your situation doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that the answer is the same. Take it to the Lord. So I want to give you seven reasons to do so. Number one, there is a God who inclines toward us and hears. Notice verse 1 again. And he, the Lord, inclined, leaned unto me. So there's David way down in that pit. He cries out of the pit. And the Lord inclines his ear, leans toward David. That's a beautiful picture. So there's David way, way down in that pit. There's no way out. God leans all the way from heaven leans his ear toward that pit, revealing that he has a willingness toward David. And aren't you glad that there is a God who leans toward us? Take it to him in prayer. Take it to him in prayer. Notice also, he inclined unto me and heard my cry. David says, there I was way down in that pit. I cried out unto the Lord, and he, willing to listen, heard my cry. Psalm 4 and verse 3, we read, the Lord will hear when I call upon him. David, over and over, declared throughout the Psalms that God heard him. In Psalm 3 and verse 4, he said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. Or think about it. And it is something to think about every time God hears our cry. In Psalm 6 and verse 8, the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. In Psalm 6 and verse 9, the Lord hath heard my supplication. And in Psalm 34 and verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And in Psalm 34 and 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. There is a God who not only inclines his ear toward us, there is a God who hears the cries of his people. And notice his character. In verse 10, It speaks of His righteousness, His faithfulness, His salvation, His loving kindness, His truth. In verse 11, His tender mercies, and again, His loving kindness and His truth. And it is that God who leans toward us and hears our cries and hears our prayers. Take it to Him in prayer, whatever it is. Secondly, there is a God who is an able rescuer. Verse 2 says, He, going back to the Lord, brought me up. Also, in addition to inclining toward me, in addition to hearing me, He did something else. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. So there's David way down in the pit, stuck in the mire with no way out. And God brought him up. God carried him out of that pit. God fetched him out of that pit. God transported him. Notice what it says. Out of. Out of. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. There is a God who can lift you and I out of the thick, holding mire, whatever that mire is. So again, take it to Him. Whatever the matter is, whatever the circumstance is, take it to Him in prayer. No matter what the pit, no matter how powerful the pull of that mire is. And sometimes the mire has a very, very powerful pull. It just pulls us further and further and further. But there is a God. There is a God who is greater than the pull of that mire. Take it to Him in prayer. Thirdly, there is a God who not only can rescue us out of the pit, there is a God who can settle us. Notice verse 2. And set my feet upon a rock. Just notice first of all that those two words, a rock. A rock. In the midst of our weakness, in the midst of our insecurity and inability, there is a rock. There is a place of strength. There is a place of durability. There is a place of security. There is a place of stability. Always know there is a rock. Always know that. There is a rock. Isaiah refers to it in Isaiah 32 and verse 2 as a great rock in a weary land. And hear David say in Psalm 61 and 2, from the end of the earth, I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Always know there is a rock. There is a rock. Notice verse 2. He brought me up. He brought me up out of. And then it says, and set. And set. Fixed. My feet that were just previously in the miry clay upon a rock. Now there's a huge difference between miry clay and rock. And those feet that were in the miry clay, God set upon the rock. David didn't get himself out of that pit. God brought him out of the pit. And David didn't set his feet on the rock. God does all this as you read verse 2. was God. He set my feet upon a rock. So yes, there is a God who can rescue you from the place of sinking, from the place of decline, cause you to ascend by bringing you up out of the pit. We need to take it to Him in prayer. We need to know what Isaiah knew. Notice in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Just makes good sense to take it to Him in prayer. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. That's a transformation. It's a transformation that only God can bring about. And our God can change, our God can reverse impossible situations. Take it to Him in prayer. Fourthly, there is a God who can cause advancement. So there's David in this pit. God brings him out of the pit, sets his feet on the rock, and then notice what it says in verse 2, and established my goings. And established my goings. What he's saying is, God brought me out of that horrible pit to a place where I could advance, to a place where I could make progress. David has been brought from the place of slipping and sliding. He has been brought from the place of being pulled deeper and deeper into the mire to a place now where he can move forward for the honor and the glory of God. He's been brought from a place of miserable confinement to a place where he can make progress and thrive and flourish and prosper. So you read verse 2 and know it to be so. Whatever the matter, take it to the Lord in prayer. Fifthly, there is a God who can impart to us. Verse 3. And in addition to inclining toward me, in addition to hearing me, in addition to bringing me up out of that pit, in addition to setting my feet on the rock and establish my goings, he hath put a new song. Again, it's God that does this. He hath put a new song in my mouth. And he describes what that song is, even praise unto our God. So the psalm opens with a cry of desperation. But the cry of verse 1 has now been replaced with a song. He hath put a new song. And it is an anthem of praise to God. This song that David has in him now is an anthem of praise. And again, notice it is, he hath. This is not self-induced. This is not man-produced. He hath put a new, a different, and a fresh song in my mouth. And he describes that again as praise unto our God. So this is joy, this is jubilation, this is exuberance in God. There's now a vibrancy, there's an excitement, there's a passion, and it's all directed toward the Lord. There's been a renewal. Quite a change from the beginning to where we are now in verse 3. There's been a renewal that's taken place. There's been a refreshment. Verse 5, we see part of his praise. He says, "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." So David's heart is now filled with love for God, reverence for God, gratitude toward God. And he's filled with a wonder and amazement concerning the person of God. Job 33 and 10. Job, we read there, "The God my maker, who giveth songs in the night." God can give a song in the night like no one else can. So we see God imparts a song. Sixthly, there is a God who can make our lives useful. Not only has God done everything we've mentioned so far, but notice verse 3, he spoke of that song as being praise unto our God, and he said, "Many shall see it." That is me singing the song. "And fear, and shall trust in the Lord." He said, "God has filled me with a song, and many shall see it. The result is they'll fear, and they will trust in the Lord." In other words, his life is now beneficial and profitable. There is a God who can take the most miserable of lives and make them beneficial and profitable. So take it to him in prayer. Seventhly, lastly, there is a God who can lift you above the ordinary and the status quo. Notice verse 6 through verse 8. "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened." And I believe that's referring to, you remember, the awl in the ear for a servant. "Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Again, those words have an application to Christ. The writer of Hebrews makes it obvious. But also in light of what God had done in David's life, David was not now just satisfied to just give God a token service like sacrifices. In other words, he didn't just want to go through the motions. He didn't just want to play a religious game. He is now determined to live for God, to obey God, to delight in God's room or will. He wanted to live above the norm, the customary, the routine. And if you're not where you ought to be spiritually, trapped, you can even be trapped in a religion, know this: there is a God There is a God who can lift you above the status quo of religious service, fill you with a resolve for God. Take it to Him. Take it to Him in prayer. No matter what it is, doesn't matter. There isn't a soul here that is not burdened. We all have many burdens. We all share some of the same burdens. But the solution is to take it to God in prayer. That would be our life. Taking all kinds of matters are going to come in our lives and the lives of those that we love. Oh, that we would be a people who are convinced the very best thing I can do is take it to Him in prayer. It doesn't mean there may not be other things we can do, but don't ever replace, take it to the Lord in prayer. Nothing can replace that. Take it to Him. Take it to Him in prayer. So whatever your need is, perhaps you're here and lost. If that be the case, you are in a horrible pit. A pit so horrible, even though I lived in that pit and those who are saved here have lived in that pit, we still can't describe to you how horrible it is. It's a horrible pit. But if you cry out unto God to save your soul, He will. And only God can bring you out of that horrible pit of sin and set your feet on a rock and establish your goings. Put a new song in your mouth. Only God can do that. You and I that are saved, we know that to be so. We have lost loved ones. We have those that are here right now that are lost that we love. Our arm isn't long enough, and even if it was, it wouldn't be strong enough to lift that soul out of that pit. But we know the One who can, and we take it to Him in prayer. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead some verse song.